Thank you, Madam Chair, and I also join my colleagues to warmly welcome the delegation. My questions focus on paragraph 6 and 7 of the list of issues. So I'll proceed to the questions on paragraph 6 on derogations. In your reply to the question posed by the committee in regard to derogations made by the state party to address the COVID-19 pandemic, you state that the Health Act enacted on 20 March 2020, which has been extended to 31 March 2022, authorized the Minister for Health to issue regulations to prevent the spread of the pandemic through the introduction of various emergency measures, including restrictions on freedom of movement and freedom of assembly, among others, which amount to derogations from the obligations of the state party under the covenant. Can you please provide us further information on the specific regulations that have been issued by the state party resulting in such restrictions on the enjoyment of individual rights guaranteed under the covenant, and whether the state party has ensured that such restrictive measures met the strict requirements of necessity and proportionality, were of a limited duration, geographical coverage, and material scope, as well as being non-discriminatory, in particular to disadvantaged and vulnerable groups such as the elderly, the homeless, persons in long-term care institutions, as well as persons with disabilities. In this regard, can you also please clarify if the state party has plans to create a long-standing mechanism for the oversight of such measures and restrictions to ensure application of a human rights-based approach? Second question in regard to this, has the state party notified the Secretary General of the restrictions that derogated from its obligations under the covenant in accordance with Article 4 of the covenant? If not, could you explain why? Going to the second question on paragraph 7, non-discrimination, I wish to thank the state party for the detailed information provided in its periodic report, as well as in its replies to the list of issues on the progress achieved in regard to legislative and other measures taken to rectify discriminatory laws and social practices on various grounds. However, there are a number of issues that require further clarifications by the state party as follows. First, you mention in your periodic report, as well as in your replies, that the state party formally recognized the traveler community as a distinct ethnic group in March 2019, which is a welcome development in terms of its symbolic recognition and significance to the traveler community and other stakeholders. The launch of the National Travelers and Roma Inclusion Strategy for the year 2017 to 2021, the NITRIS, is also well noted. However, I understand that the formal recognition of the travelers community has not yet been backed by a legal act, which implies that the rights of the traveler community still remains unclear, particularly in light of the reportedly high unemployment rate of the adult traveler population, the problem of access to housing, the home, and basic services, including the negative stereotypes that persist among the majority of the population, both on the traveler and Roma community. Can you therefore please further clarify whether the state party has plans to assess and monitor the impact of the formal recognition of the rights of travelers and what specific policy and legal measures it intends to take by way of implementation of the NITRIS strategy to ensure that the travelers and Roma community are not subjected to the multiple forms of discrimination they face, as well as putting in place a robust implementation and monitoring framework? Second, several reports indicate that people of African descent are disadvantaged and discriminated in every aspect of life, including in regard to employment and education on a daily basis, and that there has been a high level of racist hate crimes committed, particularly against people of sub-Saharan African background, including high incidence of racial profiling by the Irish police targeted at people of African descent, travelers and Roma. Can the state party therefore further clarify practical measures it intends to take to combat racism, including color-based racism, tackle discrimination and prejudice, and promote intercultural awareness, and promoting trust in the law enforcement system, as well as tracking their evidenced impact? Finally, my last question. In your reply, you state that a migrant integration strategy has been put in place for the year 2017 to 2020, also extended to 2021. and that it contains actions aimed at addressing racism and xenophobia, including promoting diversity and inclusion. Your most recent reply also indicates that the state party's efforts to regularize undocumented migrants. However, there are concerns raised by several stakeholders in terms of implementing the strategy in practice. Reports before the committee indicate irregular migrants are excluded from the bare minimum enjoyment of their right to life with dignity, since they are prevented from accessing social benefits such as healthcare and other essential social services due to their irregular situation. Can you therefore please provide us with information as to whether the state party has plans to adopt policy and legal measures that would guarantee access to basic goods and services, including that to the right to health care for irregular migrants, so as to prevent foreseeable risk to the right to life with dignity for irregular migrants, in line with Article 6 of the Covenant? This is my questions. I will be looking forward to your responses. Thank you.